Welcome to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos. I run a tutoring company for K through 12 students who need help with reading, math, writing, study skills, ACT, SAT, prep, and more. My tutors work both virtually and in person. We specialize in really getting to know your kids and helping them thrive. I was a teacher and leader in a Georgia school system for 25 years. I saw what worked and what didn't. And there are definitely some gaps that teachers can't touch, which is why our tutors are so important. Teachers can only do so much. I'm here to bridge that gap between parents and teachers, to help your kids become successful in school and beyond. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I'm your host, Helen Panos, and I am back again this week with another guest for you guys, and her name is Meryl Fury. Welcome to the show, Meryl. I'm so glad you joined us.
Well, I am so glad to be here, and thanks for the invitation. This is exciting.
Well, I wanted to introduce you real quick and tell everybody this is going to be a really interesting topic. I think a lot of people are going toward leaning toward plant-based eating, right? And so we're going to talk about children, everyone, and you as a parent and how you can help your children lean to healthier choices, let's say. But I know Meryl is the president and CEO of what's called Plant-Based Nutrition Movement, and you can find them on Facebook, and there's a YouTube channel, which we will have that information in the podcast notes for you all. And so this is a nonprofit that focuses on the importance of nutrition for preventing and reversing illness. This is especially important for our children. Yes, it is. It's an issue that has never been more critical in our society today in terms of health. And I have to agree, because we see a lot of illnesses nowadays, a lot of sicknesses, and I know you're going to talk about your background here in a minute, which is important. So why don't you tell us a little bit about your journey and what got you to do this, actually?
Well, okay, so this is a long story. I'll give you the Reader's Digest Cliff Notes version. So I am a registered nurse. I have my master's in nursing, and I spent 30 years in public health. In the course of that time, let me turn off my noisemaker phone. In the course of the 30 years that I worked in public health, of course, public health focuses on people. Our patients are people who have very limited resources, you know, limited access to care, limited access to everything. And in the course of the 30 years, I worked with that population, and that was all kinds of people, all kinds, from people who were homeless, recently immigrated into the country, single moms, drug addicted, you know, all kinds of people. One thing that was consistently true all the time was the poor quality of nutrition. And it has a lot to do with what's available in a community and what people are used to eating and what is comfort food for them, what's culturally significant for them, how old they are. There's a lot that goes into food. Knowing that and looking at that and watching how people eat, and then consequently, by extension, right, they feed their children the same things that they're used to eating. It is just amazing. So in the course of the 30 years, I watched this one particular population where I worked in Illinois, Northern Illinois. People just never got better. They never got better. Didn't matter. We actually had access to some healthcare for them, and we would go into their homes and speak with them and teach them about mother-baby care and what to do for if your child gets sick, or, you know, get your vaccines, all this stuff. But the people just consistently, their health's just deteriorated over time. And watching that, and I'll tell you, Helen, probably one of the worst feelings, and what probably was some of the pivotal stuff for me, was to be in a room with a doctor and a patient and maybe their child, and have the doctor say to the mom, so your blood sugars are high, They've been high for 6 months. You're now to the point where you have diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And the parent, the adult in the room, would sort of like leave the room, right? Like mentally, shoop, check out. Not really mm-hmm. anything else in the conversation. And then to know that we didn't have anywhere we could send them. There's nothing that we could tell them, really, besides take medications, injections, or pills, cut down on your breads and tortillas and your sugars.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see you in 3 months. And in 3 months, they'd come back and it wouldn't be any better. And another 3 months and it wouldn't be any better. And another 3 months and they get more medications. And at some point, you know, you just, as a medical professional, you just get to a point where it's like, okay, there's got to be something missing here. There's some mm-hmm. puzzle piece missing. And that puzzle piece is actually food. It's what we eat and how we feed our children.
It's what, say the last part again?
It's what we eat and mm-hmm. how we feed our children.
Yeah.
What we teach them to eat.
That's true.
What we teach our kids to eat is what they're going to eat for most of their lives.
That's true, because it's it's a habit. I mean, when you're a child, you're being fed by your, that's an interesting point, by your family, right? They're cooking for you until you're old enough to want to cook, or maybe that's an interest of you as a teen, but not many. So look at that. I mean, that's called a habit for sure, because look at how many years. So it is about what the parents are doing. I grew up with a Mediterranean diet since I'm Greek. And luckily, a Mediterranean diet, thank goodness, is supposed to be healthy yes. or healthier. And a lot of Greeks are living. There's a couple, I forget what the name of the acronym is or whatever, they talk about these certain cities.
Zones.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I think there's one in Greece, actually.
There is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would love to go visit that.
Actually,
I might have to do that next time I go.
Yeah. But I'll tell you, even them. The Blue Zones, anybody mm-hmm. can look it up now. It's quite the topic. I think there's a Netflix series or something right now. There's
I think so.
Stuff.
Yeah.
But even in those Blue Zones now, those Blue Zones are being, dare I say, infiltrated with American food ways and customs. Mm. And those same people, those same places where people had such better chances of living into the 100-year-old range and better, and being active and vibrant and alert and engaged in society, it's starting to decline. So that we're seeing lower ages, younger, those people now dying younger, which is just, it's heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
Yeah. I say, when I went to Greece a couple of years ago and I came back, and I was very careful about what I ate there too, even there, my blood pressure was lower for a while. As a matter of fact, when I came back and went to a doctor's appointment, I was like, what's that number again? And then I go to another doctor's appointment, because I typically have them in June every year. And I'm like, what was that number? I mean, I couldn't believe it. After being in Greece for two, well, number one, you're on vacation. And number two, I was eating very healthy over there.
Right.
And I come back for a while, it stayed that way. But then back to the routine of American foods and what we're eating. And I try to eat healthy, because I shared some issues that I've had, in the past with you and other in a pre-interview.
Right.
So even there, when I was on the cruise ship, they knew I had a certain diet I wanted to continue. Mm-hmm. And they were very good about getting me gluten-free and this and that, and asked me to circle things on the menu and delete what I couldn't eat. And I mean, they were very, very, nice about how they approached the whole thing. So I came back and I, of course, did not gain any weight, and I felt the best I had felt.
Right.
And no issues while I was there with my stomach or my gut or anything.
It says something, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Being an American.
Yeah, it is.
So I know, with your nurse background, your nursing background, I'm sure it's kind of like me being a teacher, and I could see what's not happening correctly in the school systems, that I just said, you know what, it's time to get out. And it's time to help people the way I know they can be helped.
That's right.
A system is a system. They have to follow stronger, restrictions and things like that, that, maybe companies don't have to do. So people look elsewhere. Other than I always question my own doctor about food choices and things like that. And they just kind of look at me, but they know me now, all of them. They know I'll question them and they'll immediately go, well, you probably don't want this drug, but.
But I'm obligated to tell you that.
A special message from Donna Miss Learning Academy. Have your children ever test for the gifted program in their public school? Maybe they have, and it's been less than 2 years. In most cases, in Georgia, you cannot test your child again for 2 years. However, looking at an eligibility form from the prior time they tested is very important. At Donna Miss Learning Academy, we do this and are qualified to coach you and instruct you on how to navigate the system, which means your child could possibly be tested again sooner than you think. Also, if your children are looking to get in the gifted program and they did not qualify 2 years ago, let's say, then they can be tested again. Reach out to us at 770-282-9931 so that we can discuss this possibility and instruct you on how to move forward within the public school. Thank you.
What is the current state of children's emotional behavioral health in the U.S. and parts of the EU and the UK, since we're talking about Europe too?
You know, so currently, 97% of the people in general, adults and kids, do not get enough fiber in their diet.
Mm-hmm.
Fiber only comes from plant sources, right? Mm-hmm. We're also on the low end of getting all of the micronutrients from our food. That's like, you know, the vitamins and the minerals. We're also on the low end of getting enough water in our diets.
Mm-hmm.
All these things are so important for how kids develop and grow. You know, so here's an interesting study I saw a while back. I think it was done in 2018 by, I believe the researcher was Bruguglia. If you want to Google that, or we can put it in the show notes if that works for you.
Mm-hmm.
Fascinating study about, they looked at the different foods that gave at least the building blocks, if not straight up neurotransmitters, that the typical person needs to function in a day. So it was like dopamine and serotonin and acetylcholine and GABA and histamine.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one other, I can't remember what the sixth one was. And they looked at where all these neurotransmitters were found in foods. Dopamine and serotonin are our feel-good transmitters, neurotransmitters, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's what we
mm-hmm.
look for. We look, it's that, give me happy, you know, keep me depressed, you know? Those are found in fruits and vegetables, beans, nuts, oranges, spinaches, zucchinis, eggplants. That's where you find those neurotransmitters, right? Same thing for GABA and serotonin. And these are the ones that like keep us calm. They regulate the nervous system. They keep, you know, all these neurotransmitters are needed to help a child self-regulate, sit in your chair, stay calm, manage your impulse control, figure out your discrimination, your categorizing of things, right? These are all important tasks, memory, all important tasks for learning. And these neurotransmitters are found in fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans, right?
Mm-hmm.
But if we're not feeding our children these foods, and instead we're leaning into boxed macaroni and cheese and chicken nuggets and pepperoni pizza and whatever else it is we feed kids, these Takis, that's a big favorite around here, chips, junk.
Mm-hmm.
We are not providing our children with these neurotransmitters that they need to self-regulate and manage their internal and external environments. So we should not at all be surprised that children don't self-regulate. They're having more issues with impulse control. They're mm-hmm. having more issues with ADD and ADHD. And then you have the whole range of other diagnoses that are so prevalent in our
mm-hmm.
children.
Yeah.
Children being affected with things like oppositional defiant disorder, mm-hmm. depression and anxiety, and all these things that when you're in a school environment and you're trying to learn, which is what you're working with, right? You're trying to help these kids be able to absorb and manage all of this input for education. We're not giving them the neurotransmitters. How are they going to do that?
Mm-hmm.
They're not. Their body is using whatever we give them and making these sort of counterfeit neurotransmitters. The system is bankrupt because we don't give them the basic building blocks they need. Nutrition is critically important. And in the westernized diet, that's all over. Anywhere there's a westernized diet, America being probably the worst because our food regulation is so loose. You know, we allow a lot of dyes and a lot of additives. There's something like 10,000 different chemicals that are found in the U.S. food system. Yes, and we don't know what those things do. We don't know.
But nobody's really talking about it, are they?
No. That's a well-kept secret. Hush, hush. We don't talk about that. It's affecting our children.
Yeah.
One statistic that I think is appalling, actually, is that in the last 6 years now, the CDC has decreased our children's life expectancy 4 times.
Wow.
How is that okay? How can we even be okay with that? We are, no matter how you cut it, among the 10 richest countries in the world. And we are doing this to our children. We have to stop.
Yeah.
We can't continue to claim ignorance about it. It's horrible. It's horrible.
I agree. It is. Cause I mean, I was a 504 chair, and the amount of ADHD and anxiety and oppositional defiancy coming up is quite, especially the ADHD, is quite alarming, because then what's the next thing? You're going to put them on a drug because they can't pay attention and do well.
That's right.
And that's a whole other issue.
Right. And when you think about it, right? Okay, so let's look at, okay, so all children are our most vulnerable population, in my view, right? Mm-hmm. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care what color your skin is, what your religion is, where, I don't care. Your parents live together or not? Do you have a dog? Do you go to church? It doesn't matter. Children are the most vulnerable population we have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Even in a case like that, where children have access to healthy food, the parents don't necessarily feed them the healthiest foods anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And in some zip codes where there is no access to healthy food, right? There's mostly fast food and mom and pop gas station type access for canned processed stuff. That means we are literally undermining the human potential of whole zip codes of children.
Mm-hmm.
Think about that. Like, how insidious and twisted. If we don't take care of our own children, what are we doing? What are we doing? It's appalling. I mean, it's one of those things. Once you see it, you can't unsee it.
Because it's really a spiral effect to their brain, to them becoming productive citizens the world. Are going to be our doctors, lawyers, whatever, engineers.
And making decisions on how their senior citizens get taken care of. Well.
Right. Yeah. It's amazing. But how do our food choices then, since we're talking about that, and mealtime behaviors affect our children and how they learn? And I'm glad you bring up, you say mealtime behaviors, because I know parents are very busy today, and I see it in the homes we go into. There's a lot of like not consistent time to have dinner or sit down and eat it together anymore.
Yeah. So a lot of parents, we have our children scheduled, very highly scheduled, right? Their downtime is highly scheduled. They've got ice skating and they've got soccer and they've got, you know, maybe boys and girls club after school, mom and dad are working. There's all different ways that that happens, right? And when it comes down to time to eat, very often parents are looking, and of course it mostly falls on the mom or the grandma or, you know, the female in the house. That's just the way society set up, right?
Mm-hmm.
So mom, who may be working one full-time job, sometimes they're working two or three part-times and a full-time, whatever they have set up, how it's working, they're looking for something quick, cheap, and easy. That's what it is. So the children wind up getting those kinds of foods, you know, that turns into boxed and highly processed foods. Mm-hmm. So the children sit down and the food goes in, and at least it fills their belly. We're grateful for that. But there often is not any sort of real interaction going on during the meal. There's no conversation. It might actually be quite stressful. And in some cases, the other extreme is going on. They're on tablets or screens and they're playing games and there's no communication at all. so the children don't learn that mealtime can be a time to engage with other people and have, you know, build meaningful relationships, learn how to have a conversation.
Mm-hmm.
This is another important thing, you know. Children, you've seen it, I'm sure. You go to a restaurant and everybody's on their phone.
Yeah.
There's no conversation at all. Yeah. So one of the things we talk about is, you know, okay, let's learn how to ask fun questions over dinner.
That's a good idea.
How do you start a conversation? Yeah, we have a deck of cards, actually, that we, you know, make available to our students.
About
30 different questions. If you could look out your window and see anything in the world that you wanted to see, what would you see? What would you want to see out your window? If you could have any kind of pet, what kind of pet would you have?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's cool.
Different conversations.
And that's great for, actually, I'm glad you bring those up. That's very good for critical thinking and creativity.
Yes.
Because the questions you're asking are, I'm smiling because I have a blog about that, and I'm going to be doing a gifted webinar here soon for, you know, free to, and, you know, let people know about how to get their kids in the gifted program, because the creativity part is really falling apart.
Yes.
Because of all the technology piece, and you still have this test that they have to do that's drawing, actually. Yeah. And it's not just drawing, it's thinking outside the box. And it doesn't matter how intelligent you are, because I've had one, and he's very high intelligent, but he could not think outside the box. He can't even give me gratitudes. Oh, as simple as stuff like that.
Sure.
I hope that's one of the cards.
Yes, it is, actually.
Give me
yes.
one or two gratitudes.
What are you grateful for?
Yeah. That's amazing. Is that on your website, Meryl? Those cards?
You know, actually, I don't think they are, but if people send me an email, I can certainly make that happen.
Awesome. And what are some health promoting, brain sharpening, easy to make snacks? Because it is about, you know, a lot of moms are working now, easy to make snacks and meals to help our children learn and grow.
Wow. You know, like I said, so many times we're looking for cheap, quick, and easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
My husband is a construction worker, sweet guy, love him to death. He says, you can't get all of those in one. You can't get cheap, quick, and easy. You can only get two. Cheap and quick.
That's funny.
But it is, right? So cheap, quick, and easy. That's a tough kind of thing to do. But for kids and snacks, one thing is, we have to expose our children to different types of foods, different flavor profiles, right? If we only give our children, you know, for, I'm going to go with box macaroni and cheese because that's just easy and very common.
Mm-hmm.
It is cheap, quick, and easy, actually. Then children get a very narrowed sense of what is appropriate food. It's soft, it's salty, it's oily. It has a certain mouthfeel and a certain flavor profile, right? There's no spicy, there's no pungent, there's, you know, it's sugar, salt, fat. That's it. That's what they're getting, right? Some combination of that. So one thing to do is open your child's palate. Offer them foods that are healthy, health promoting. So that would be fruits and vegetables and nuts, seeds, beans. Beans are wonderful. Lentils, brown rice, oats.
I love oats. I love oat milk.
And these are foods that actually deliver the neurotransmitters, like we were talking about before, to help the child self-regulate and impulse control, right? Mm-hmm. Manage their environment. So that's one thing. Now, what do you do, right? So let's say I'm so used to doing chicken nuggets and mac and cheese that I don't have any. I run out of my imagination's depleted. I don't know what to do. Apples, oranges, grapes. These are quick, easy foods, right? They come in their own packages. You might have to cut them up because some kids might not be used to, like, actually literally peeling an orange or biting into something like that.
How about a banana?
Bananas are wonderful.
Easy
right?
to peel, right?
That's right. With banana, let's say you put it. Just the other night, I had banana. I had some peanuts, literally just peanuts, roasted peanuts. Whole banana, smash the banana into the peanuts and eat the banana with peanuts.
Oh.
Right? It gives a whole different texture in the mouth. Your tongue and your mouth.
Maybe some dark chocolate too.
Well, that's a whole nother thing, right? And dark chocolate's not the same as milk chocolate, right? Mm-hmm. Dark chocolate's a little more challenging its flavor profile. Not mm-hmm. so sweet, not so silky, right? So it's giving the child different mouth feels, different mm-hmm. textures, and different flavor profiles, as well as different phytonutrient, the nutrients that come only from plants, fibers, so that the child can start to learn over time. Then, you don't have to, it's not a good idea to keep giving the child sweets all the time. That's a bad idea. So include things like spinach and salads and tomatoes and olives, cucumbers, mm-hmm. right? Fruits and vegetables in season are always a good idea.
Even seafood. Right, because some kids will not like seafood if you haven't introduced it to them from earlier on.
Too. Now, in our nonprofit, we really lean heavily into the fruits and vegetables and the nuts and the seeds, all the plant-based foods, because there's enough people advertising for animal products, so we don't mess with the animal products at all, right? Not that people only need to have fruits and vegetables, but nobody's advocating for fruits and vegetables, so that's what we do.
Right.
Manner for fruits and vegetables. So that's the kind of thing that parents can do. Take the child to the grocery store and say, okay, today we're looking for red fruits, and you pick out two red fruits if they're little ones and you're working on colors. Or today we're making a salad. If it's a little bit bigger kid, we want five vegetables. Out five vegetables that look like they'd be fun to eat raw. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's carrots, celery, onions, lettuce, tomatoes, whatever, mushrooms, whatever you want to do. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's rice. You can add beans, right? So it's looking for ways to introduce new foods all the time. And the caveat being, children frequently will not like it the first time. Don't let mm-hmm. They might not like it. So you'll have to introduce it twice, three times, five times. They say up to 15 to 20 times for some children. Mm-hmm. Introducing a food before they'll eat it and accept it. And it has everything to do with the look that's on their parent's face. Your parent is going, ew. I wouldn't eat that. Whoa. Right? We don't
if eat somebody people. Did it, I'm not sharing it with them.
right. I hate beans. I never eat beans. Well, if that's the kind of face you have on, then your child most definitely will.
That's funny, because I don't think I really had. I ate shrimp when I was younger, but I wouldn't eat. I just didn't like, looking at a fish, and so I wouldn't eat any fish. I didn't like the smell of it.
Right.
And then finally, like in my late 20s or something, I finally started introducing, like, we had a condo in Destin, Florida, so I was more around it. So then I start trying some different fish. And now I'll eat grouper and snapper and sea bass. It's a certain kind that I like, though. It's got to have a certain texture.
Right, yeah.
It tastes a certain way and be mild. So I don't think people realize there's so many fish, and if you Google that, you can kind of see what matches up with a certain one your child likes or yourself. And then there's other versions. They show you other versions that could go along with that fish.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I know, like, I don't like salmon. And I wanted to ask you one thing that I've always wondered about. So, we're talking about quick and easy.
Yes.
And all of that. So, for instance, if there are good snacks for kids and things that as soon as they get home from school and they want something quick, so is a okay? This is probably not the best thing, but I know carbs are not that great if they're too high. Sugar is in most stuff, right? Of course, kids should have some sugar, but I mean, another reason to introduce them to different things. I will say this is you then find out if they're intolerable to anything mm-hmm. in this day and time. So I think, like, with snacks, I was curious about if it has oats in it, but it's kind of a little higher on the sugar and carb side, and it's not bad health-wise, is that okay to give to your child every once in a while? Because it's a quick, easy, you know what I'm talking about? Like those oat square thingies and stuff like that?
Yeah. So one important thing is to always read the labels, right? The nutrition label is super, super valuable. And it's not really easy to understand a lot of it. Nutrition labels are not created in ways that they make it easy to understand. I'll put it that way, right? It's not super common sense, intuitive kind of writing.
Mm-hmm.
So one thing you can do is when you're reading the nutrition label, look at the ingredients. The first 3 to 5 ingredients are really what the product is made out of. Those are the most, it's the highest quantity, right? Mm-hmm. The biggest proportion of the product is in the first, call it 3 to 5 ingredients, depending on what it is. If you have a list of ingredients that's 2 paragraphs long, and the last 75% of it is 5-syllable words that look like chemicals that came out of a lab, no, don't eat those. Just don't. Those are petrochemicals. They're made from who knows what. Don't eat that, right? If there's stuff that's got dyes in it and things like that, I'd recommend for your children, absolutely not. Don't bother. That's not food. That's chemicals, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go back to what you said about carbs. So there's 2 different kinds of carbs, really. There are simple carbs, which break down into sugars very quickly. So that's going to be like your refined white flour, your enriched flour, white rice, those kind of things. That's simple carbs. Not a lot of nutrients in simple carbs. Complex carbs like oats or brown rice or barley, amaranth, some of these grains, right, that are whole grains, those are wonderful carbs. Our brains run on carbs. We have to have carbs, right? But we're looking for complex carbs that also deliver the micronutrients, the minerals, and the fiber, right? So when we're talking about carbs, the main thing is you don't want to lean into foods that have been highly processed and refined. And then like enriched, which means they stripped all the nutrients out of the whole grain and then sort of sprinkled some little more extra stuff and then sold it as enriched. So for kids, easy snacks could be, you can make oat bars yourself. You can make granola yourself. Great recipes online. You can make little energy bites, energy balls.
I love those.
They're made with dates and nuts and seeds and maybe some coconut and cocoa powder and stuff. They're wonderful, right? Mm-hmm. Lots of different versions of that available. And then still, this for snacking, you know, have fruits and vegetables that are cut up and available for the kid to just like go in the refrigerator, reach in and grab either a little baggie of them, or they're in a bowl and they can just spoon out some or dip a cup in and grab some. Those are probably the easiest ways without putting your child at higher risk for developing and maintaining a sugar addiction or getting refined stuff in their diet.
What about, I love chia pudding. So that, and a lot of people don't even talk about that. Kill Me Crazy has a great one, actually. I mean, not cheap, but, you know, they have a terrific one. And then you can make your own.
Yeah, so it's chia seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Dry chia seeds, which you can buy by the bag full.
Yep.
Not a lot of money. And some, for us, we use plant-based milk. So an almond milk or an oat milk.
Mm-hmm.
Mix the seeds. I don't know. I want to say it's like 2 tablespoons or 3 tablespoons for a cup of milk or something. And you can look online and get those recipes all day long. They're wonderful. And you just stir the seeds into the milk, right? And let it sit overnight. You might have to stir it another couple times in the course of things because the seeds will settle to the bottom of the glass. So you stir them and the seeds sort of absorb the liquid and they plump up some and turn into a nice pudding. And then, okay, you want to sweeten it? Throw in some fruit or throw in, I love maple syrup personally. I'll throw in maple syrup. Some people use honey. Some people use dates, date paste, you know, pureed dates is another good one. Yeah, wonderful stuff. You can make parfaits and, you know, add seeds, add nuts, add
fruits.
It's wonderful
stuff. And another thing people don't think about is, we didn't talk about, is yogurt.
Yes.
Of course, there's some that are not so healthy.
Correct. Yeah, so just, like, you know, something to consider and think about, right? So typically in America, we are eating animal-based yogurts, animal milk yogurts, right? And it can be anything from fat-free yogurt to Greek yogurt to yogurt with fruit, highly sweetened with lots of colors. It could have
blueberries.
It could have
poppy.
Highly sweetened cereals already mixed in. It could be all kinds of things. Chocolate and marshmallows. It could be all, any range. Again, what you want to look for is the least processed you can get. Don't look at the amount of sugar in these things, right? If you're going to lean into an animal milk yogurt, get plain. Add your own fruit. Add your own granola, your own oats, your own whatever you want, right? Go that route. And then there are also plant-based yogurts. So there's almond milk yogurt, I believe. There's soy milk yogurts. There's, you know, so there are things like that as well.
Yeah, which is nice that they've really gone even to that with ice cream. More and more so. The only thing with the ice cream and the oat milk I noticed is the high sugar content.
There can be high sugar. Yeah. In the milks, of course, again, you're looking at the labels and you're trying to get the unsweetened one, get the one that has no sugar added. And if you want it sweet, you sweeten it yourself with honey or dates, date syrup, like I said, date paste or maple syrup, something like that.
Well, thank you very much. This was very helpful. I know parents are going to love this show. And all the information that you're sharing. I mean, your background, and you know a lot.
I could talk about this for hours, Helen.
I bet you could. It's one of my favorite things. I love exercising. I'm probably one person that loves exercising. And if I'm sick, that's the first thing I miss is exercising.
Yeah.
And I want to encourage that too while we're talking about health here in this show. Is food is actually about 80 to 90% of it, not just exercise. I wanted to say that because I've learned that from a trainer. And if you're not losing weight, and I'm talking to the adults here too, it's probably because you've got to change the eating habits for sure.
Yeah. You know, I will add to that, the same recommendations that we're saying for children go for adults and vice versa. Right. These same eating patterns are good for anybody at any stage of life. Well, except for infants who are, you know, mostly working on either formula or breast milk. Breast milk being the exact perfect food for babies, right? But the fruits and vegetables and the whole grains and the nuts and seeds and the legumes and beans and mushrooms, that those are literally the foods of life for humans, literally. That's where we get our fiber, which feeds our immune system. That's where we get our micronutrients, our vitamins and our minerals and our, all of it. There's stuff that we haven't even figured out what's in food already, but fruits and vegetables are the sources for those things. We can literally reverse diseases. Literally. We've been told for so long that diabetes is genetic, or heart disease is genetic. Obesity, you're overweight, you're all of it. You know, your asthma, your eczema is all genetic, we've been told. But it's really a lot of it is food, and a lot of it can be reversed by changing the diet.
I've seen that, yeah, for sure. So what is your offer for people today?
Oh my goodness. If you, I have an infographic that probably has, I'm going to guess, 10 different suggestions for how you can connect with children around food and how you can build different healthy habits for your children and your family, yourself too. This is not exclusive to children. You know, it's for for anyone. So that's it. It's an infographic. I hope people take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. And we'll have the link for them to download it. Awesome. Perfect. Yeah, I can't wait to get it myself.
Great.
And yeah, that is important. I'll end with this, that, you know, it is about role modeling it, because I know I have difficulties with, let's say, when you have somebody in the household that is eating pork and other things that you're not interested in, and then you're like up against each other in terms of, hey, why are you eating that? Right. We shouldn't be serving that to our friends. Right. I'm really actually putting my foot down about that after this party we're having this weekend. And I'm like, I'm not serving that to other people because I don't eat it. And I don't, if you do enough research on it, it's just not good for you. So, you know, you can choose to eat that. I can't make you as an adult. I think that's probably a big problem with families, right? Especially have 3-4 people that travel. One person usually travels, you know, and he used to travel a lot. My husband was traveling a lot. So you're stuck on, I even do it with restaurants. I ask them to do things a certain way, actually.
Yes. Oh, you have to advocate for yourself.
And I do not use any of the dressings that are on their salads. I always just tell them to give me oil and vinegar. And once in a blue moon, I'll run into a restaurant that doesn't have it.
Right. Yeah.
So very full of sugar, all these other salad dressings. So, you know, we make our own here. That's a Greek dressing. That's something you can find that anywhere as well online. So, yeah, I just want to encourage people to start just doing some things slowly. It's all, you know, you're not going to go wham, bam, hey, I'm changing everything tomorrow.
Those are rare people that can do that. Yeah, it's probably just most little changes. If you can do small changes over time.
Yep. Yeah. Well, yeah. Thank you very much for all your time, Meryl, and joining us. And everybody, I hope you guys have a great rest of your day. Bye for now.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Smart Parents, Successful Students podcast. I hope this episode has been insightful and inspirational. Wherever you're listening, be sure to go ahead and subscribe to get the next episodes and to join our email list by going to www.dynamislearningacademy.com/podcast/. Also, it would warm my heart if you reviewed the podcast on Spotify and shared it with your community. And remember, I believe that every child would benefit from getting extra support outside the classroom, whether they are struggling or are part of an advanced or gifted program, because teachers just can't do it all. Please connect with me about our K-12 tutoring, SAT or ACT prep classes, and writing workshops to help your child excel in school. I can be reached through email at helen@dynamislearningacademy.com or by phone at 770-282-9931. Thanks for listening. Bye for now.